This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the show. And as always, you're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have also the Discord call-in lines, which you can join by joining our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm. It is a way that you can call in to the show and sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. Tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Last night, you probably weren't tuned in. It was our after show that Rich Paul and I did where we discussed some of what has been going on recently with the dark web. Now, Mark, what is the dark web?
It is a scary sounding term for a part of the internet, maybe its own internet, that you have to have a special program called Tor. That stands for the Onion Router. It is, I believe, was created by the
government.
Yeah, the government. I think it was
DARPA,
the DIA,
or,
Defense Intelligence Agency. Yeah, like working for the Navy, Department of Navy, something like that. I think it was the Defense Intelligence Agency, but I could be wrong. And they use it for secure communications, I think, still. But it's open more or less to everybody and maintained. And even libraries across the country are maintaining what they call nodes on the dark
web. Exit nodes.
Yeah. And this basically makes it so that you can, A, use the internet with some level of anonymity.
Supposedly.
I don't know the specifics, and I imagine the government's working hard to figure out who's using what. And there's also a way to sort of have your own websites up on this other internet, this dark web. And we're going to call that the dark web, and they have dark websites that are up on the dark web. You never stumble across these things in your normal tootling around the internet, right?
You can't get there from there.
You cannot get there from there. So you can't type something into Google, how do I find illegal drugs on the dark web?
Well, you'll get instructions.
You'll get some answers, but you won't get the dark web.
Correct.
And unless you're 14-year-old some kind of hex or genius, he's not figuring this out. Also, grandma isn't using this generally to go get her, whatever pills she has to take, her heart medication, at a lower price. Although people do this, right? So these the dark web is this, dark internet. And then there are websites on there, some of which you can buy illegal drugs on.
That's true. And there's all kinds of things on the so-called dark web. And of course, the federal government seems to like it just fine when it assists their allies in protecting their communications from, coercive governments like, Iran, for instance. So the government kind of supports the dark web, but at the same time, they don't like it. It's something they created, but it's also something that, they've lost control of, basically. And that's...
It's a tool.
Yeah.
And tools can be used for good or evil.
Correct.
I will definitely agree that the dark web is used for evil.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
There's not just drugs, but like hacking tools, for instance, credit card, lists of credit card numbers and, fake IDs and all kinds of things like that that can be used for fraudulent purposes.
Any kind of communication you can imagine is there, including child pornography and all kinds of horrible things are on the dark web. No doubt.
There's an assassination website at one point. Whether or not anybody was actually killed from it is another question, but there's all kinds of things out there. And so Rich Paul and I were discussing last night, and we were talking off the air the night before that about this, like, what's happened? Because there was another crackdown recently on some of these darknet drug distribution websites, and as we were kind of poking around the dark web, we were having a tough time finding some of the new ones. But ultimately, after some diligent research, we were unable to unearth some of the newer sites. And I think that's what this story from Wired is about how that every time the federal government goes in and cracks down on these sites, a few more inevitably spring up.
Well, what happens when the cops roll through that corner in town where where you can buy drugs? What happens when they come through and they arrest a few drug dealers? A few more pop in and take their place.
Because there's money to be made.
Right.
A lot of it.
When you arrest a serial killer, murders go down. When you arrest a burglar, burglaries go down. When you arrest a drug dealer, you've created a job opportunity for drug dealers.
That's right.
That's all.
Because you can't arrest all the users. You just don't have enough room for
it. It doesn't work the same way. Prohibitions are different when you're talking about black market kind of stuff.
On the dark web drug market empire this week, business proceeds as usual, writes Wired. Satisfied customer will be back, writes one user on the product page of a meth dealer with a handle Shardy Shardface. Excellent, reads a plaudit posted by a buyer of the opiate oxycodone. Bravo, says another, for a $5 sample of fentanyl. One of 18
My
reviews.
My God, that stuff will kill you.
Posted on the product's profile page in the last week. In all, Empire lists over 18,000 narcotic offerings, including hundreds for oxycodone alone. Judging by that buzzing trade, there's little hint that just the week before, global law enforcement announced the takedowns of two of the world's largest dark web drug sites, known as Wall Street Market and Valhalla, or that the most popular market called Dream had taken itself offline at the end of last month, perhaps sensing law enforcement closing in, or that a multi-agency U.S. law enforcement task force devoted to stemming opioid sales on the dark web arrested more than 60 people in a major operation just a month before. And on Wednesday, the FBI and Europol announced their latest win, the takedown of dark web news and information site Deep.Web, which had quietly made millions of dollars from offering promotional links to black market sites in a kind of underground affiliate marketing scheme. Now, I find this to be very interesting because I feel like, now, I don't know where the owners of Deep.Web have been charged, but if they've been charged, because these have been multi-jurisdictional, international police forces, you get Europol, you get the FBI, you get all these agencies working together on this. So I don't know where they've charged the Deep.Web operators, but if they're charged within the United States...
Sounds like freedom of speech to me.
Right. It would seem to be freedom of speech if you're just putting a link on your website saying, here's a link to a darknet website. You can shop here. Not saying, buy your drugs here, but just simply saying, here's a link to this site. Not saying anything about what you might want to use that link for, even though the bulk of the products on those sites are illegal drugs. There are legal products on that site as well. And the owners of those affiliate links, the Deep.Web website operators, the people who are running these links, they don't know what you're buying. If you click through their link and you buy something legal or you buy something illegal, they have no idea. They would just get a cut from the sale because of the affiliate link. So how is that knowingly – I mean, presumably you would have to knowingly lead somebody to a place where they could do some illegal business. Right.
I'm not even sure that's true. So, let's leave Free Talk Live out of this. Let's talk about, real news organizations. I've heard news stories about dark web websites, specifically Silk Road comes to mind, on NPR and national news media across the country. People could have used that to inform themselves. They could have used that to help find more dark web websites to take down, or they could have used it to find places to buy drugs. It's just news.
Mm-hmm.
So if you outlaw the posting of links, then, I mean, what if there is no call to action? Like, is it the call to action that makes this illegal?
I'm not sure. I would like to see what the indictment says on the Deep.Web case, because I'm curious to know what they charged them with, first of all.
I think it's important to state right now, this country was founded.
Conspiracy?
And built by people who had legal access to opioids. Now, I'm not advocating for the use of opioids. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if you think that America's a great place and that it was built into greatness into the time around the 1910s, thereabouts, 1920s, somewhere in that time frame, then you believe that this country was made great by people who had legal access to opioids. I think it was the Sears catalog that had heroin in it at some point.
Okay, so according to a release from the Department of Justice, the administrators of Deep.Web have been indicted for money laundering conspiracy. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-4...
Sounds pretty nonspecific.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. We can continue, and you can share your thoughts with us on the dark web. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here. You can bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And also, of course, you can join us anytime at freetalklive.com. Grab archives of the show and more, all there waiting for you. And if you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty, you can do it from the back of your car with libertystickers.com. You can reach thousands of people with a bumper sticker, and you know that people love to read them. So check out the vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic liberty-oriented messages at libertystickers.com. As we continue, Ian and Mark here in the studio with you, talking about the takedown of some darknet marketplace and informational websites, or at least in the case of Deep.Web, which was a non-darknet site. Deep.Web was a public website. It was just on the internet, the regular internet, where you could go and you could read reviews of the various different darknet marketplace websites. They would, for instance, they would like interview the operators, the administrators of these sites. They're all anonymous, but you know, with whatever screen names, Dread Pirate Roberts or whatever they were calling right. themselves, they would do interviews with them. They would give reviews of the sites. I think they even had like they might have had like a kind of an indicator as to whether or not the site was online or not, because a lot of these darknet sites kind of come and go, whether they're being taken down by the government or not. Sometimes they're hit by denial of service attacks, and they're a little less than reliable when it comes to when you actually try to go to the site. It might not be there, right. but this then it might show up tomorrow or in 4 hours.
This is eBay.com.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have a lot of backups. It's just somebody running a site off of wherever secretive server they've been able to set up. So they took down Deep.Web, and they're alleging that the operators, who they claim are Tal Prihar, a 37-year-old Israeli residing in Brazil, and Michael Fan, an Israeli citizen residing in Israel, age 34, charged in late April in a one-count indictment, so not a whole lot of charges, by a federal grand jury in Pittsburgh. They arrested both of the men in respective countries. Actually, one of them was in Paris at the time. So French police and Israeli police assisted with the arrests. Presumably, they'll be extradited to face these charges. Here's the quote from the assistant attorney general. Quote, according to the indictment unsealed today, these defendants allegedly made millions of dollars by providing a gateway to illegal darknet marketplaces, allowing hundreds of thousands of users to buy fentanyl, hacking tools, stolen credit cards, and other contraband. The great work of our law enforcement partners and prosecutors allowed us to penetrate these supposedly anonymous online criminal networks, and those who use the networks to commit crimes will be held accountable, regardless of where they live or how they attempt to hide their identities. So, as usual, you get this sort of tough talk from the attorneys, U.S. attorneys in these cases.
Well, sure. Without this tough talk, what the hell would they do for a living? They'd be out chasing down murderers and rapists and arsonists. Oh, wait, these are federal. I don't even know what they'd do.
For years,
people committing treason? I don't know.
Deep.Web operated as a key gateway to the criminal underbelly of darknet marketplaces. All the while, the website administrators profited from the darknet economy, said FBI's Assistant Director Robert Johnson. Quote, although they believe they could hide in plain sight, this case demonstrates nothing could be further from the truth. The FBI does not turn a blind eye to criminal activity happening on or off the darknet. Rather, we've worked with our partners both at home and abroad to investigate nefarious activity, shut down websites like Deep.Web that facilitate the introduction of opioids and other illicit contraband into the United States, and arrest the individuals profiting from these transactions.
What scares me about this is, as a person who reports news, so here I am reporting a story right now as we speak about the takedown of drug websites. We have stated that drug websites exist right now on the deep web, dark web.
That's right.
Like right now, people who have the ability to go on can do that.
We even gave you one of the names earlier, Empire Market, which is what's discussed in the right Wired there. Story that we were reading.
And where is the line drawn? Obviously, this Deep.Web.
They're claiming it's at the money laundering line where this Deep.Web was making money from affiliate.
That's not
links.
What money laundering is.
No, it's not.
Money laundering is when you take illegal money and turn it into legal money.
Correct. And that's why I don't think they have a real strong case here.
Right. But these guys are going to, you know, face all kinds of problems. You get arrested in France and the United States is going to attempt to extradite you on money laundering. Mm-hmm. You can either fight it and stay in France for months in jail there.
Right.
Or you can come on over to the United States where you're probably not. I mean, I'm just like Julian Assange, probably not looking forward to the sort of justice that you're going to get in the United States.
Well, in Assange's case, they hit him with 17 extra charges this week.
I understand they're going to, you know, they keep piling them on. Right. They'll probably do the same thing with these guys.
Maybe they will.
Whatever it takes.
Which is why I'm surprised they only have this initial charge with these cases.
Right. I mean,
they're not as high profile as Assange.
The state's attorney or federal attorneys or whatever, it's not like they work. They just pile on charges and they get people to plea bargain.
That's right.
I mean, they don't do criminal trials much anymore. They have this system where they... they don't have to work anymore. They just scare people.
That's right.
So we, the people, are no longer served, if we ever were, with some kind of criminal justice system that works. Jury of your peers is basically out the window. You can have it, but if you do demand it, then you're going to likely be found guilty because 2/3 of cases that show up, felony cases that show up in court, are found guilty. And then you're going to probably face something like 10 times the time you were previously. Because what we do in America is we punish people who want a trial. We punish them severely.
The indictment announced today represents a true international success and should serve as a message to others that the FBI will always pursue criminals victimizing Americans, no matter where they may try to hide. Now, how is it that any American victimized by the fact that these people ran an informational website? That's what Deep.Web did. It wasn't even, I mean, it's outrageous enough to me that they would put a website administrator in a prison cell like they did with Ross Ulbricht, the guy who created the very first darknet marketplace website, the Silk Road, who's now in prison for 2 life sentences plus 40 years for just making a website on which people chose to sell things that were illegal. That to me...
And things were illegal.
That's correct. That to me is an outrage. This Deep.Web thing is even worse because they're now going, because at the very least you could argue with Ross Ulbricht that he knew for a fact that people were selling drugs on that site. He himself allegedly sold some mushrooms on the site. So there's a pretty strong argument that Ross Ulbricht knew for a fact he was, you know, profiting because the site pulled in, you know, a few percentage points, 2% to 4% or something per transaction, right? There's a, like, just like eBay takes 10% or whatever, the darknet sites take a certain percentage from their sellers. So you could argue that at the very least he knew the money was coming from illicit places. You could also argue the Deep.Web administrators knew that most of the money they were getting probably came from illegal transactions, but they couldn't say for sure unless they specifically told people, hey, we want you to buy illegal products with this link. Because if there were legal products available through that link, by the way, some of the products on the site were legal in some countries, but not legal in other countries. So how do you deal with that? You know, so they don't know who's buying things through the affiliate link. It's not like Amazon where you get a readout of every single product that people are buying. It's just you follow that link and then you get, you know, the administrator gets a reward when somebody makes a purchase.
I'm crazy about My Magic Mud. This is the most important oral care product created this millennium, and I'm not kidding. We all have different opinions on politics and issues, but we all have mouths. And I want yours to be as clean as possible with teeth as bright as they were meant to be. I will never be without My Magic Mud. It's a little surprising, but man, does it work. If you only listen to one thing I say ever, go to MyMagicMud.com and get 20% off with code FTL. MyMagicMud.com, code FTL.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want here. We're talking about the dark net marketplaces and also a takedown of a website that just linked to them. That's all Deep.Web did, was they just had some referral links. And the federal government is acting like this is a big score. They've really put a stop to some dastardly criminal activity by stopping another website with links on it. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. They're talking about felony level money laundering charge, at least one charge so far. They may end up hitting them with more than one. And why not hit them with more than one for every website they linked to?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all very odd.
So we can tell you more about that story. Your calls and thoughts also welcome. You can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Mark, tell me about the upcoming Freedom Fest coming up July, right?
Yeah, it's the world's largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. It's in Las Vegas at the Paris Resort, Paris Hotel, July 17th through the 20th. And this year's theme is the Wild West. Was it a time of liberty and opportunity or lawlessness and violence? Keynote, Penn Jillette. They'll have Lenore Skenazy there, Candace Owens, John Mackey, the former CEO of Whole Foods. I think he's still the CEO. I really need to know that. Kevin O'Leary, Kevin Harrington of Shark Tank, Stephen Moore, now in the Federal Reserve, Grover Norquist, libertarians, conservatives, liberals, all mingling together and to hear real debates and share real solutions and converse freely. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. It's a great event. We'll be there having a great time. Freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 and get a $50 discount. And if you go to freedomfest.com/FTL, you'll get, right now, you want to try it out? You want to see what it's like? The five best speeches from last year are available for free. Judge Napolitano, Alan Dershowitz, Charlie Kirk, Heather McDonald, John Mackey, all for free. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 at freedomfest.com/FTL.
So we're talking about I'd started a story from Wired about the government's takedowns of these darknet marketplaces. There's been recent couple of them that have been shut down. And they mentioned Deep.Web, which is a story I'd seen the headlines for, but I'd never really took the time to look into it in detail. I just knew that I knew Deep.Web had been shut down, and I was bummed out about it because it's an attack on free speech. First and foremost.
Yeah, Deep.Web has that sort of scary sounding name already, though. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, it's a website about the dark web.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't a scary site. It was a review site. It was a site where you would go and read reviews of websites that are on the dark web. And then there were handy links to those websites on the dark web that allowed you to find the site to go and explore it. Because it's not illegal yet. At least in the United States, as I understand it, we may be getting to the point where it will be, but at this point, it's not illegal to go to these websites and look around.
I've done it.
That's a free speech exercise.
Right. I felt like as a journalist, I really, if we're going to talk about the Silk Road, mm-hmm. I should have been on it. And so I went and looked at it.
Right.
And it wasn't the greatest website in the world. I mean, eBay's got them beat for here to Sunday, right? I mean, it's just, you know, wasn't the greatest thing in the world as far as looking good.
Sure. But it did what it was supposed to.
I went there. I went and checked it out. And
you scroll through all the drug listings you want. As long as you don't order it, it's not illegal to just look.
And one of these things is that it's probably worth noting that people who did choose to order drugs off this site weren't facing, I don't know, getting beaten up in the wrong neighborhood.
Sure.
You know, all kinds of bad things can happen when doing business in the dark.
Getting arrested in a police sting. Getting some drugs that weren't what they were advertised as, and you end up having an overdose.
Right. So it also helped.
Or a heart attack.
Helped with that in so much as, you know, people got reviewed. I mean, where do you find a drug dealer review?
You don't.
So,
you know, there's word of mouth, but that's about it.
People were selling what they were advertising there because they were being
more
reviewed.
Often than, yeah. It's very, very rare that anybody would ever find some bunk being sold on the darknet sites because, like you're saying, they're in competition. They're open competition with other people from around the globe, and the reviews are very important to that.
And I'm not saying this isn't without risk. I'm simply saying that, you know, if you're listening to this, your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter have done illegal drugs. Do you want them?
Somebody you know.
Yeah. Do you want them in a situation where they're likely to be beaten up or not? Do you want them in a situation where they're likely to get drugs that they didn't think they were getting? Like, get the wrong thing.
Right.
At the wrong dose.
That's what leads to a lot of overdoses is the fact that people don't know what they're getting.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of overdoses.
That's not to say that taking drugs is an inherently safe activity. It's not. There's dangers in just taking the very same drug that you think you're buying if you did actually get the real thing. But it's a whole lot more risky to buy things on the questionable street-level black market. Whether you get, you know, beaten up, or robbed, or arrested, or you get the bad, you know, bad product, these are all things that having drug darknet marketplace sites like the Silk Road have lowered dramatically. Which is why I've said that Ross Ulbricht, the founder of the Silk Road, he saved people's lives. I'm sorry. I understand that probably somebody overdosed on heroin because they just took too much of it that they bought on a darknet site. I'm sure that happened, but I'd be willing to bet that dozens and dozens of people avoided being robbed, beaten, just having their wallets, you know, jacked from them in a car in a dark parking lot or whatever, because they went online and did their drug purchasing. So anyway,
and potentially killed.
Right. Here's more of the tough talk from the federal government. So they're talking about Deep.Web, the website that just simply linked to the darknet websites. Embedded in these links were unique account identifiers, which enabled the individual marketplaces to pay what they referred to as referral bonuses to Deep.Web. Kickbacks in the form of referral bonuses paid in virtual currency were a percentage of the profits of all the activities conducted on the marketplace by any user who made purchases on the marketplace by using their customized referral link. We used to have this with Amazon. We had a link that we had directed our listeners to go to Amazon and purchase. If one of our listeners in a country where some of the products on Amazon would be illegal for them to order, ordered an illegal product through our referral link, would we then be liable for making money, money laundering off of somebody who bought something that was illegal?
No, we would be patriots because we're Americans.
Ah.
Americans allowing things that are illegal in America to be sold
That's
to
totally
people
fine.
Who are in different places are patriots. However, people in different places that sell things to Americans that are illegal in America are evil criminals. But if you're a politician and your daughter, like Jeb Bush's daughter, got caught
smoking.
Was it crack cocaine?
Yeah, she was
cocaine?
A crackhead.
It's a family issue.
That's right.
If you're not
Leave
a
our
politician,
family alone.
If you're not a politician, well, tough luck. Your family's going to jail. It's not a family issue. Then you can't go up and walk up to the state's attorney's office and say, "Hey, give me my kid back." This
it's
is
okay.
A family issue.
We're going to put her in a program. It's okay. You can let her out of the jail.
Yeah. It's fine. But your thoughts and prayers could be with us. We'll take our daughter back now.
Remember, she ran away from the program they put her into so she could smoke more crack.
She can do whatever she wants because she's one of the chosen. She's one of the politicians' kids.
Through the use of referral links, Deep.Web received kickbacks from darknet marketplaces every time a purchaser used Deep.Web to buy illegal narcotics or other illegal goods on the marketplace. Or legal goods. And there were legal goods. I remember seeing books on some of these marketplaces.
Sure.
Taryn Lupo, who's a former co-host here on Free Talk Live, I've seen his books available for sale on darknet marketplaces. I don't know if he's the one who's selling them or if it was somebody else, but somebody was.
It's not illegal to sell books on a darknet marketplace.
How about packaging? There are people who will sell you packaging materials because if you're going to buy packaging materials, presumably you'd want to buy them. If you're an illegal drug dealer on a darknet market, you might want to buy your packaging materials from other darknet dealers, right? So that way you're not going to Office Depot.
Oh, I don't know anything about this business. So you're saying that the government probably looks at the sale of those tiny little Ziploc bags.
I don't know.
I'll bet they do.
I don't know, but this is one way to avoid
that. There
was
a time when the government was looking at people who bought money counter machines.
Mm.
So, yeah.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. They may still be looking at that. 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here and bring up what you want about the darknet or whatever's on your mind. Free talk. It is Free Talk Live. You may dial toll-free to join us here, live Saturday edition of the show. We've been talking about the underworld of the internet. It's called the Darknet, which is kind of a scary name for Tor. It's also known as the Onion Router. And the reason they call it that is because they use layers of protection, basically, without getting too detailed about how it works, because I couldn't, because I'm not an engineer.
Or if it even does work. We don't really know whether it actually protects you. People get taken down and...
They sure do take down a lot of websites.
Go to jail. I don't know...
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
Now, usually it does have to do with sloppy work, sloppy operational security on the parts of the administrators of these sites. For instance, Ross Ulbricht, way back when he first opened the Silk Road, went on a couple of forums and he posted a message with an account that was registered to his email address. He posted one message that even actually included his email address in the message. And the messages were something to the effect of, hey, I heard about this marketplace, just kind of like, I heard this thing exists. Is anybody on it? You know, like asking but putting out the URL kind of thing. But that was the very first ever post on the entire internet that ever mentioned the Silk Road. And so that's all they had to do was go back to the very first post ever about the Silk Road. Simple Google search basically could reveal this. And then they linked accounts to other accounts and email addresses to Ross, and they had their suspect. So the initial, maybe his security got better later on, but in the very beginning, it was pretty loose, and that's what led to his takedown.
Yeah, that's policing. That's good policing. Yeah. They did police work and they found him, and that it's hard not to slip. It's very difficult. Right. To not slip. And the government certainly doesn't do it. Remember that these are the people that are losing your information, your Social Security number, and all that stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, their intelligence agencies get hacked. So it's hard.
And they've got virtually unlimited resources that they can turn against you, right? So if you are running one of these darknet market sites, even if you're on the ball as much as you can possibly be about your operational security, you're still up against an agency that has an unlimited amount of funding and agents and time that they can just throw at these problems.
If you get 10 forensic analyst specialist kind of guys or people that are going at your website for 6 months,
full time,
done.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, some of these sites have lasted for much longer than you might expect. For instance, the Wall Street Market, which is one of the two most recent takedowns, that was up for a couple of years. So,
yep, those people are very rich and probably able to defend themselves, and probably not in the United States.
Yeah, I think they were over in Germany, actually. Anyway, so the federal government's press release here about the takedown of Deep.Web, which again, if you're just tuning in, isn't a darknet market site. It was a site that reviewed and linked to the darknet market sites. So just an informational portal, basically. But they were making revenue off of the referral links to these darknet market sites, and that's what they're claiming, the feds are claiming, was the crime, which they claim was money laundering. But they got some interesting information here beyond just kind of explaining what a referral link is, and hopefully most of you already know what that is. They talk about how they go through this laundry list of all the different names of the marketplaces that they linked to, because they linked to them all. I mean, anyone they could find that had a referral link, they would link to it. And so when Alphabay, which was one of the biggest ones for a number of years, so after Silk Road was done and after
Silk Road
Agora 2. Market and Silk Road 2, which was infiltrated, by the way, by the feds from day one, Alphabay was one of the biggest, most noteworthy ones. It was seized by law enforcement in 2017. It was one of the largest markets offering illegal drugs, fraudulent identification materials, counterfeit goods, hacking tools, malware, firearms, and toxic chemicals.
Oh my!
So because they were able to, seize the site and go in and look at the statistics and look at the back end and basically act as administrators at that point, they learned that approximately, this is pretty impressive, 23.6% of all orders completed on Alphabay were associated with the account that was run by Deep.Web, the account that the referral link.
They're pretty, it's a pretty good advertising venue for the sounds of it.
They sent almost a quarter of the users to one of the biggest darknet market sites in the world, and they received a referral fee for 23.6% of all the orders made on Alphabay. We're talking about a lot of money. In fact, later on in this article here by the Department of Justice, it says that between November of 2014 and April 10th of 2019, so about not quite a 5 year window of time, Deep.Web received approximately 8,155 bitcoins in payments from the darknet marketplaces.
Wow.
That's millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, 8,000 bitcoins, each of which is worth $8,000.
Yeah, today. What's that, $64 million or something?
Well, don't ask me. I went to government school.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of money.
$64 million, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Miss C-Card, trigonometry class, she said, "You're not like you're going to have a calculator with you all the time." I'm sorry.
She was wrong.
Yeah,
you've got two of them.
Yeah, you're a wonderful woman, and you were mistaken on that.
Yeah. Over the course of the conspiracy, defendants Wren referred hundreds of thousands of users to these darknet markets, and then they go through this, again, another list of the things that you could buy, and talked about the millions of dollars in kickbacks, blah-blah-blah. So I still don't agree that this is money laundering, because they couldn't have known for sure that the money was coming from an illegal source. Money laundering, the idea behind it is you take illicit money from the commission of a crime. So whether that crime is, a hitman or a drug dealer or whatever it is, that somebody's getting paid to do something illegal, prostitution, you're getting paid to do something that's illegal, taking that money and filtering it into some sort of a legal channel. So whether it be putting it into a business and acting as though, you know, the classic example from Breaking Bad, the television show, they literally had a washing machine, laundromat or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the big
cash business,
they were using that to launder the funds. Any kind of business that you can bring money in through, you know, whatever methods, and put it into sort of legitimate channels, you know, and it ends up in a bank account or whatever, that's considered money laundering. But if you're just taking payments from a referral link to a website where you don't know what exactly people are doing through your link, I think it's going to be a tough case. If they've got some good attorneys, this will be a very interesting case. And I did pull up the Pacer for one of them, and apparently the indictment is sealed. So
that always disturbs me. I mean, what do we need to seal indictments for? This is supposed to be a free country, and in free countries, you have transparent information.
Right.
As a person who works in the journalism field, I'm not going to call myself a journalist, but as somebody who works in the field, the idea that we, you know, that the United States government is sealing documents and blacking things out and all that stuff every single time,
it's creepy,
upsets me.
Yep.
And when we went to civics class, we were told we were the government. Like over and over again, we're the government. We the people are the government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're not the government if you're kept in the dark and fed bullcrap and told to grow mushrooms. I mean, how can you possibly make a decision on who you're going to vote for when the information the government's putting out is blacked out? You don't know. It just shows how little of a choice you have.
Yep. So let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Gene the Christian Anarchist. He's on our Discord server. Go ahead, Gene.
Hello. I think I'm going to start a series called Why I Distrust History. This will be episode 2.
Okay.
I'm a Yankee, of course. Probably most people can tell by my accent. I'm from the North. But I think the wrong side won that Civil War.
Uh-oh.
And I posted something in the Discord about this is – people have seen this on the internet, but they ignore it. It's Lincoln's letter – or the letter to Horace Greeley that Lincoln wrote. And basically, this is the middle of the Civil War when he wrote this. And what I'm – I guess the point I'm trying to make is Lincoln is not the savior of the black people. He did not
Absolutely
care
not.
About black people.
He only cared about
he
the Union.
Care.
Power.
Right. He cared about the Union. And he says in this letter, and I would love people to just look this up. It's the letter to Horace Greeley. And he said in there that if he could save the Union without freeing a single slave, he would do it. And if he could save the Union by freeing all the slaves, he would do it. The slaves were not important to him. He didn't care. In fact, his own personal solution to the slavery problem was to send them all back to Africa. Well, most of them would just die there because they had been in the U.S. for so many generations. They don't know what Africa's like. So that's really not a solution.
It's actually sort of done with Liberia. Its capital is Monrovia, named after James Monroe. I would say that Lincoln was an abolitionist, but it's true that he didn't free any slaves in a country that he was in charge of. The United States had slaves at that time, and he didn't free any of them.
Gene, if you want to talk more about slavery, you can hang on. We'll bring you into our number 2, and you can join us as well. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE if you want to get on the air with us. It's Free Talk Live.
Don't you hate that feeling in the pit of your stomach when the police pull you over? Most people have no idea how to handle it properly, and they promptly get fed into the municipal fee-generating meat grinder. Or maybe you recall that feeling you get when you go to the mailbox and see one or more letters from the IRS. you get a sense of impending doom, don't you? So let me ask you, if you could learn how to use the law to beat the IRS, traffic tickets, almost any courtroom scenario, collectors, credit card debt, and even mortgage debt because of fraud perpetrated against you, would that be worth knowing about? Don't laugh. Investigate. Check out the life-changing benefits of the Lighthouse Law Club at their website, lighthouselaw.club. That's lighthouselaw.club. And while you're at it, visit the Lighthouse Law Club YouTube channel. You might be in for a pleasant surprise.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the show, launching into the second hour here. We'll take your calls and thoughts about what you want. If you want to join us, we have been discussing the dark web, which I imagine if you have experience with it, you probably don't want to call and talk about it. But the phone lines are open for you if you do want to join us with you here tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark, what kind of protection do you have for somebody who wishes to call in? They can always use a fake name and we wouldn't know who they were.
We wouldn't know who they were. I guess in theory they could subpoena the network for their phone records,
right? And we don't have any control over that one way or the other.
No. Yeah, you probably maybe if you were to call on Discord, that would be a little bit harder to identify, but yeah. Either way, you could also say you know someone who.
Yeah.
You just don't say it was you. Just say you know somebody.
Yeah. If we had control of the information, we'd tell them to take a hike, but that's not.
Yeah.
You don't always get those choices.
So, talking about the takedowns recently, more darknet marketplaces taken down within just the last month or so. And we got into some detail about the deep.web site, which was the underground, or not even underground, it was just a public website with links and reviews to the darknet sites. And they're saying that, well, because they made money off the referral links, that's money laundering, and so therefore criminal charges have been brought against their administrators. But we also had Gene the Christian Anarchist on the line. He's still there on our Discord server. And Gene, you were calling tonight about slavery and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, fake history is my theme, and it's something that I like to talk about because people think that what's in your history book is actually truth, and I believe that probably what's in your history book is probably at least 50% inaccurate. I don't know if it's absolute lies or propaganda or just people.
It's almost definitely propaganda.
Yes,
pro-America propaganda.
Right, and history is written by the victors. We've heard that all our life. But the example I was giving was the letter to Horace Greeley that Lincoln wrote where he said he didn't really care about slaves. And because I don't know that this is the case, but if I went to the Lincoln Memorial, and it's been many years since I've been there, I kind of doubt you're going to see this letter to Horace Greeley in the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah. Or the second inaugural.
It should be there.
The second inaugural address, which is also said something similar, basically, regarding slavery.
That slaves were just a means to his end of keeping the Union together.
Right. But if you look at today's image of Lincoln, he's supposed to be this big savior of the black people. And I think black people need to go in and look at this history, because I think we're all being fooled. We're being taken for a ride here. And, it's good to know what the truth is rather than what the propaganda is. And it's the propaganda that makes these young children march off to war and die in these horrible desert places and jungles and everything else. And they're just too young to understand what they're going through. It should be those old fat men in Washington, D.C. that are on the front lines fighting these wars. If they want people to fight a war, they should be out there leading that charge. They should be right in the front line.
That'd be nice.
And you'd see how many wars would be stopped if that were the case. None of those fat old so-and-sos would ever think of going in front of them.
Yeah, I think that wars should be fought by the politicians themselves. Give them long knives and bucklers, and put them in an
fight to the death.
Yeah, put them in an arena and do a pay per view. I mean, let's make some money on this.
I'd pay for it. Normally, I wouldn't pay for war, but I'd pay to see two politicians fighting in a, you know, to the death.
Right. Let's have Trump and that Iranian guy the old cleric guy, whatever his name is. Let's have them fight. That'll be fun.
That would be. I would pay to watch that.
Gene, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. That's Gene the Christian Anarchist. He is on our Discord server, and you could be too. In fact, he's chatting in there, it seems like, almost every night. He's one of our regulars. Head over to discord.lrn.fm. You can join them there. And then if you join the on-air call-in line rooms like he did, you'll sound almost like you're sitting in the studio with us. Sarah in New Mexico on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Sarah? New Mexico?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, we have the electric scooter rentals run by the Vectors here in Albuquerque now.
I used one of those in Denver. They were all over the West Coast.
Yeah, so we just got them. And now I'm going to get run over by a bicycle and an e-scooter because they're allowed to ride on the sidewalk along with the pedestrians.
Are you seriously worried about getting hit by somebody on a scooter?
Well, the thing is, our streets here, we just get a 4-foot sidewalk with no bike lane. That's how it was designed like 90 years ago.
Now, are these the kind of scooters where you just kind of leave the thing wherever you're done with it and then somebody else comes along and rents it?
I have no idea where it's supposed to.
Was that what you rented, Mark, when you were in Denver?
Yeah, it was a Lime. Is what I rented.
And what do? You pay with a credit card or something like that?
Yeah.
Coin-operated?
Yeah. Well, what you do is you get the app, you put in, you charge up your account, 10 bucks, and it's a minimum of $10.
Yep.
And if you don't use it in 30 days, it goes away. So if you're visiting town, you're going to pay $10 to use one of these things.
And how long does a $10 thing last you for?
A good period of time. I mean, I zipped around on this for a little while. A
couple days? A few days?
No, hours. I mean, I couldn't.
And did you burn
precisely.
Through all 10 bucks?
No.
After a couple hours?
No, I didn't.
How much of the 10 bucks did you burn through?
I think it was like 6.
Okay.
So.
It's not terrible.
It seemed like a pretty good deal. If I was in town, I might very well use that as a form of transportation. Mm-hmm. But I don't live in Denver.
Now, if you left the thing outside of like a restaurant or something like that and somebody else came and used it while you were in there, it wouldn't be there when you got back out. Then you just kind of have to use a little GPS map to find the nearest one, basically.
Yeah, they weren't too far. There were a couple in town, so if you had both apps, you'd be in pretty good shape.
This sounds like pretty cool tech, Sarah. I mean, are you really afraid of these things?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to – one of these little scooters are going to get T-boned by a big-ton truck that ran a red light at 60 miles an hour, and we might get our red light cameras back. You know, just think about some European
– You just love fantasizing about getting your red light cameras back. It's a huge loss to you, isn't it? Poor thing.
Well, think about it. But if a European – let's say a tourist from Sweden got T-boned and got put in a coma while they're on vacation renting one of these things, we're going to have to get the red
light. No, wait, are you making that up, or did somebody actually get hit by somebody else in a car in an intersection on one of these scooters?
Well, you know, I mean,
you're making it up.
It happens all the time.
But you're making that one up, right? Because you didn't actually hear it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but just to be clear, you're making that up.
I'm saying this is going to happen.
I see. You're predicting. Yeah.
But remember I said that don't come out here and be a tourist because you're going to get hit by a car? That's the scenario. This is what I'm describing.
Yeah,
so
it's all in your head. It's all in your head. It's fear. You're living in a state of fear. And so somebody who's living in a state of fear is likely to concoct all manner of worrisome stories that happen in their head about all the terrible things that could go wrong. You heard about the scooters, and so immediately you're worried about you being hit by somebody on a scooter while on the sidewalk because you're constantly worried about things happening to you.
Okay. They want you to have 3 feet distance from a pedestrian, but they allow you to be on a sidewalk along with a bicycle.
Do you want to put them in the street?
All of them. No, because there's no other place
she just doesn't
to ride.
Want them to exist.
All of us.
Do you not want the people on the scooters? You want everybody to have to walk everywhere?
No, about what my scenario is, but now I'm going to get run over by a bicycle and a scooter because we're all going to be on the sidewalk.
Just stay
together.
In your house. Then you won't get run over by anybody. But make sure you stay away from the walls of the house because somebody could crash through one of your front walls or something.
Well, stay away from the windows, too. A scooter could come careening through it.
You never know. Thanks for the call, Sarah. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE.
Well,
of course, then again, most accidents happen in the home as well. So, I mean, you're screwed.
A valid complaint in that some, you know, many towns were built before sort of modern
I'm pretty sure amenities. They had bicycles back then.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, pretty sure. Know, if the roads aren't wide enough, then what do?
You go on the sidewalk. I wouldn't want a damp scooter in the road. That's highly dangerous.
I think 4 feet isn't wide enough for scooters and pedestrians to be on. I mean, you need wider sidewalks.
Sounds fine to me. Scooters are real thin. They're skinny. 855, 450, free. The people on them, I can't say anything about that. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll free. If you want to join us here, you can. It's the live Saturday edition of the show. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If we get the chance tonight, Mark, you've got a story about a college professor who's in some hot water over defending Harvey Weinstein, apparently, as I believe that particular case has shaken out in him agreeing to pay millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars to the alleged victims of sexual harassment or whatever. If you want to also learn about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, get on over to Bitcoin.com. It's your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. Bitcoin.com can help you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, and show you where you can spend your Bitcoin Cash. You can read the latest news and engage with the community on their forums over at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. As we continue, we in the first hour of the show, if you're just tuning in, we started a story from Wired about the recent drug marketplace, darknet marketplace takedowns, and the subsequent popping up of some more. So let's continue with that story. They were talking about the Wall Street market has been taken down after a couple of years of operation, and also another one called Valhalla, also taken down within the last month, basically. Taken together, the operations represent the most far-reaching collection of law enforcement actions against the dark web economy in the last 2 years. Quote, you're seeing the evolution of a coordinated law enforcement effort, said the director of Europol's European Cybercrime Center. He said, it's not whack-a-mole anymore. But despite those wins, a years-long war of attrition.
It is whack-a-mole. That's ridiculous. As soon as they took down these sites, there were sites there taking the same business that was in place. They haven't done – it is whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole describes you whack the mole and another mole pops up elsewhere.
That's right. Yeah.
This is like –
it's exactly whack-a-mole.
This is exactly the analogy that they use whack-a-mole for. Like – this isn't whack-a-mole because what? Like, there's no, like, it's just, That's his argument is,
Despite the wins, the years-long war of attrition seems to be exactly the pattern the dark web's booms and busts now follow, argues Carnegie Mellon computer scientist Nicholas Kristin, a longtime dark web researcher, in an economy where the demand, drug-addicted users, or just drug-using users,
by the way. I mean, you know, there's... I tend to think that your average addict who's you know hopping from crack house to crack house, if they even have those anymore,
they do.
Drug using house to drug using house is not using the dark web. That these are probably, just guessing, more likely to be recreational users in many cases.
Good chance of that. I think there's a good chance of that. Unfortunately, a lot of the media doesn't make a distinction between a recreational user and an addict. They just tend to think of everybody who uses a drug as an addict, which is, of course, not true at all.
The Alcoholics Anonymous meetings that I've been to, they say the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, that no one can tell you that you are an alcoholic. Only you can say it. Mm. So to call somebody an addict, you know, at least at the very least, flies in the face of that particular definition.
So says here, remains constant or growing. That's only to be expected. Quote, history has taught us this ecosystem is very, very resilient. It's part of a cycle, and we're in the chaotic part of the cycle. We'll have to see how it recovers. But if I were a betting person, I would put more money on it recovering than on it dramatically changing.
It keeps recovering.
The cycle he describes, law enforcement.
And by the way, his money is safe. The drug war has been going on well, it depends on how you define it, but
since the 70s at least.
Drugs have been illegal in the United States since the, you know, like teens and 20s. They outlawed alcohol, then a few other things
sure.
went after that. You know, marijuana.
But the so-called war didn't start until Nixon.
That's you can read your own histories and determine when the war started by your own estimations. However,
no, I'm just meaning when they called it the war on drugs.
We have decades of evidence as to what's going to happen as these things go on. And like I'm just going to go ahead right here and now and congratulate drugs for winning the war on drugs. Like the cops, they don't win.
No. Nope.
When I've heard them come out and talk about their wins, the best they can do is say things like, well, crack use is down. I mean, so, you know, fashion has changed in the drug world.
Yep.
When I was younger, crack was the big scary thing.
In the 80s.
Nobody did heroin.
Right.
Then
that's changed.
You know, I start hearing news stories about heroin, and there's far fewer news stories about crack.
That's right.
So that's just fashion. That's not a win.
So this cycle that Kristen describes, law enforcement takedowns followed by a slow but robust recovery, has played out on the dark web again and again, repeating roughly every year or two. After the late 2013 takedown of the Silk Road, which was the first darknet drug marketplace, more than a dozen replacements rose up to fill the demand for anonymous online narcotic sales. A massive crackdown called Operation Onimus followed in late 2014, seizing a broad swath of the dark web and arresting 17 people by exploiting a vulnerability in the anonymity software Tor, which serves as the dark web's fundamental cloaking tool. Yet by 2017, another site, Alpha Bay, had risen up and had become far bigger than the Silk Road had ever been. In a well-coordinated two-pronged attack, the FBI took down Alpha Bay in July of 2017, while the Dutch police hijacked the second-largest market, Hansa Market. That maneuver drove Alpha Bay's refugees into a trap. The Dutch police had rewritten parts of Hansa's code to de-anonymize users, grab their passwords, and even install beacons on their computers. Wow, I didn't even know about that. That's news to me. The double takedown called Operation Bayonet was intended not only to ensnare dark web buyers and sellers, but to scare them too, as the Dutch police's National High-Tech Crime Unit told Wired at the time, creating a deterrent to keep users from migrating to the next dark web drug bazaar. The FBI's Blanton told Wired that no dark web market has reached Alpha Bay's scope since, but Kristen countered that. By early this year, he had observed that Dream Market had roughly matched Alpha Bay's previous size. And what they're doing is they're looking at the number of listings, basically. They're logging onto the market, and they're
saying, how would they know sales?
Right, well, how would they know active users or anything like that? They don't. Going on here, it says he declined to share the detailed numbers, which he says are part of a still unpublished study. But he did say that what happened in 2017 was very unique, the 1-2 punch, but that doesn't seem to have dented the ecosystem in a major way. Gee, what do you know? Every time they, you know, take down some drug crack house or whatever, it's not like the crack users get scared and stop looking for crack.
Right. If they were able to take down, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know my cartel names. The Sinaloa cartel, I've heard of them.
Sinaloa?
Sinaloa, sorry. The Sinaloa cartel. And they took it down.
Mm-hmm.
They took it down. Like somehow they got the head of it and they weeded it out. All the lieutenants,
yep.
Everybody, everybody's gone. I don't know how they just disappear like you know, Thanos and the snap, right? They're just gone. Somebody slides right in and immediately begins selling. Where those? Because the demand exists. There is no stopping it. Illegal drugs, sorry to say, are just too delicious of a target.
They're very desirable.
And the only solution, best I can tell, is the libertarian solution. And I'm going to tell it to you right now. Allow people to buy and sell the things that they want to buy and sell.
Hmm.
And if they're,
as long as it's not slavery or
right,
something.
If they're drugs, then so be it. There's only way to get good decisions in this world is to allow people to suffer the consequences for their bad decisions.
Absolutely true. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So that brings us up to roughly today, and we'll get an update on what's going on now. Coming up, 855-450-FREE. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. It doesn't have to be dark web related. This is Free Talk Live.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. Helpmetakebitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free to join us here. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's toll-free. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Coming up in 3 weeks from tonight, Mark, you and I are going to be at Rogers Campground.
Really? It's that soon?
It's coming up fast. For ForkFest, the third year of the Decentralized Libertarian Camping Festival. It's happening June 13th through the 18th, and it's shaping up to be what I think is going to be a pretty good event. A lot of people are excited. A lot more people are buzzing about it this year. There's over 70 people in the chat room alone on the Telegram platform, which you can link to over at ForkFest.party. There's the ForkFest forum, which I've promoted to a more visible forum status on the Shire forums. It was a sub-forum previously. It's now more of a category. So it's been getting a little busy in there in comparison to how it had been in the previous couple of years. So I think the event is positioned to get maybe twice as large. I mean, it's hard to really know because there's no ticket sales or whatever, but just based on kind of the buzz, and I know Ernie Hancock from Declare Your Independence already cooked up a t-shirt for this year, and he's been taking pre-orders, and people have been ordering shirts, and Chris Wade from Think Penguin is ordering, he's already ordered ForkFest banners that they're going to put up during the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
And it's a lot of fun. Come on down. I think it's the way to describe it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people do want to know, like, how many people are going to go, and
sure,
we don't have
There's no way to tell you.
Yeah, we don't have any way of knowing that. What we can do is we can say it went up between year one and two.
How big is Bike Week going to be in Daytona Beach this year? No way to tell.
Yeah, I guess that's not ticketed either, is it?
No, it's just an event where people drive in.
Well, they do have ways of estimating crowd size.
You can estimate the last year's crowd size. Yeah.
Right. And you can look and we can look and say, well, ForkFest year one was smaller than ForkFest year two. So year two is bigger. Even if you don't count Jay Noon's wedding, year two is definitely bigger than year one.
Sure.
So I suspect this will be bigger than year two. You can join the fun over at ForkFest.party. That links you to the ForkFest forum and the Telegram chat, and tells you a little bit more about the event. It's ForkFest.party, June 13th through the 18th. Definitely not too late. There's plenty of room. Rogers Campground is a big piece of property. There's a lot of space there. I think I talked to the owner of Rogers 1 year and asked him how many people could be on the campground, and he said probably at least 3,000 to 4,000 comfortably.
Yeah.
And you could probably fit more if you packed them in on the campsites or whatever. So ForkFest.party. We will see you there. We're going to be broadcasting. I actually set up our tent today. Make sure it was functional.
That's a good thing. You never know if something's chewed through it.
I think this year, though, we're going to have to bring a tarp along with, because I learned that these Easy Up tents, which are like professional kind of grade tents for taking to, you know, various different events or camp, not just campgrounds, but like, you know, the county fair, for instance, just running a booth out of, they're not designed to be waterproof. So last year, it started to pour while we were doing Free Talk Live at Rogers Campground, and we ended up having a tarp over top of our broadcast equipment and just stop recording because we couldn't keep doing it. I had water dripping all over my laptop, and so I think the solution is to like put a tarp over top of the tent, so to basically kind of waterproof the tent, because they don't, you know, even though you pay a lot of money for these damn things, like I think this was like a $300 tent, it's not waterproof. It's just, if it rains hard enough, it's going
to
drip.
A surprise to me.
Yeah, it's disappointing. But anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll make sure it works. We're going to be there. And that's one of the reasons we're not doing a live show, is because we're a nighttime show. And so it would be very difficult to do that from a campsite because we're going to be outdoors. So what we'll end up doing is recording the show during the daylight hours. And then that way we get to hang out with people at night. So it's a lot of fun for us.
It's the best way to do it.
It really is. ForkFest.party. We'll see you there. ForkFest, by the way, and that campground has a lot of history of people in the world of cryptocurrency, for instance. Roger Ver, Charlie Shrem, some of the names we've talked about a lot here. Eric Voorhees, a lot of the crypto people. They came to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. These are hallowed crypto grounds.
Yeah, this was called. It was called the first cryptocurrency event in the world.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the vendors and the food vendors and such were taking crypto, and I expect you're going to see that happening at ForkFest as well. So, back to the story here from Wired Magazine on the most recent set of takedowns. They've kind of gone through a history of the darknet takedowns, and they point out here that the last 2 months of arrests have at least sent the dark web into a temporary state of turmoil. In March, apparently enabled in part by information gathered in the Hansa sting, the U.S. Department of Justice announced it had carried out what it called Operation Saboteur. It arrested 61 people, seized more than 650 pounds of illegal drugs, 51 firearms, and nearly $10 million in cash, gold, and cryptocurrency. Saboteur also underscored an aggressive new approach to law enforcement's dark web operations. The agents from the Joint Criminal Opioid Darknet Enforcement Team that carried it out, from the FBI, Homeland Security, Investigations, Drug Enforcement Administration, Postal Service, Customs and Border Protection, and the Department of Defense, all now sit together in one room of the FBI's Washington headquarters. So they have what they call the Joint Criminal Opioid Darknet Enforcement Team.
Wow.
And they're all working together. They've been dedicating full time to following the trail of dark web suspects, from tracing their physical package deliveries to following the trail of payments on Bitcoin's blockchain.
It's almost as if some very powerful organization is trying to protect the marketplace of opioids. Hmm. I mean, you know, when I see those pictures of United States soldiers standing in poppy fields, guarding them.
That make you go, hmm.
It makes you wonder.
Following those arrests, Dream Market announced that new management would take over at the end of April. Instead, they went offline altogether. Then came the seizure of Valhalla and Wall Street Market last week. The latter's takedown began. The head of the Dutch Federal Police's Darknet Focus team, Nan van de Kovering, told Wired through a tip that led them to part of Wall Street Market's infrastructure hosted in the Netherlands. From there, the three alleged administrators were further exposed through a combination of security mistakes. A faulty VPN revealed one of the men's IP addresses when he connected to its back-end infrastructure, while another administrator had received bitcoins from the market with the same wallet he'd used to pay for a video game account. Oops. Should have kept your bitcoins separate, or what they should have done was go Monero only. Because that was one of the things that Wall Street, for listeners that don't know, Monero is a privacy coin, a cryptocurrency that is focused entirely around privacy. There's no non-private way to use Monero.
Now, yeah, that's true.
Whether or not it's perfect in its privacy, I can't say. There may be some sort of a bug. There may be some kind of an exploit. We don't know. But there's no like normal public way to send a Monero transaction. It's all private. So this Wall Street Market was noteworthy because I think it was one of the first marketplaces. It probably wasn't the first one, but it was definitely one of the first ones to start taking Monero. And had they exclusively taken Monero, then maybe they wouldn't have been able to trace this administrator through his Bitcoin transactions.
Yeah, that's the next ones you're going to learn, I guess.
Rogue staffer, according to this, who had blackmailed the site's users, also leaked the site's back-end credentials, which may have aided in law enforcement's investigation. So they had somebody working on the site who went bad,
yeah,
and then gave away the administration password.
Depending on how you're describing
it. Well, I would say bad. Yes. If you're turning in a darknet website, you are a bad person, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay.
Because darknet markets, as we pointed out earlier, are saving people's lives. They're helping people avoid getting arrested for, you know, nonviolent, peaceful acts. They're helping people avoid getting beaten and robbed in the streets. They're helping people avoid overdose from buying, you know, product that they didn't know what it was. That's a fact. So these people, in my opinion, are heroes. Whether or not they exit scam is another question, which is where they'll take a bunch of cryptocurrency and shut down the website.
And there's also been instances where they have things like stolen credit card numbers that they're selling. And I don't know, some kind of weird, like, maybe they're selling child sex slaves and, you know, things like that.
I don't
think
any site has ever allowed for child pornography, and they certainly wouldn't allow for sex slavery, I don't think.
So
there may have been a site at some point, but I don't know what it is.
Just saying. It's not all roses and buttercups over there.
It's not all drugs. You're right about that. There are some things that are allowed to be sold on some of these markets that are that could be used for fraudulent purposes, and that's bad.
I wouldn't go anywhere near any of them. I don't like jail cells.
The toll-free number here, well, it's not illegal to go and look at the websites, Mark. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want here. More on the takedowns, and your thoughts welcome. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free to join us here if you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. By the way, thanking Craig the Free Stater, who is a silver amplifier. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It's a way for you to help Free Talk Live. You like the fact that we're on over 200 radio stations across the United States and beyond, all the way out to Guam, for instance. If you like the fact
it's
that
not
we're
beyond the United States, but it's beyond
it's
the continent.
It's beyond the United States. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's not the part of the United States. Officially, it's just like a affiliated micronation or whatever they call
it.
I
want to apologize to the good people of Guam for Ian's ignorance and of your proud, proud protectorate or whatever the hell it is.
Well, I would hope the people of Guam want to get the hell out. I've heard there's a good secession movement there, as a matter of fact. But
I imagine there is.
It's not a state, so it's not technically part of the United States in that it's not a state. It's a, what is it, a protectorate? What is the term that they use for that?
Overseas territory, I think.
Anyway, we're out there, and it's good to be there because they've got us on, I think, 7 days a week out in Guam. Anyway, if you can, if you'd like to help us get on 100 more radio stations, you can join the AMP program over at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. And you can do that with PayPal or credit card or Bitcoin, BTC. It's amp.freetalklive.com. Get some cool perks, and you help us out as well. Let's go to John, listening in Virginia to WNIS. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Great. You know, I hear a lot of the Democrats saying now that nobody's above the law and referring to Republicans.
Hmm.
I have a problem with that because it seems to me as though Hillary's above the law. She's had numerous felonies with her server, and she was even given the questions of a debate before the debate. That was,
I don't know if that was illegal.
No, it probably wasn't illegal. It was a little scummy, but there's a lot of things that these people do that is illegal. I mean, these Hillary, Trump, all these guys, Bush, Obama, every member of Congress, they're all criminals.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Hillary is quite I know that Hillary's quite blatant about it, and then nothing is being done. She's not being brought up on it.
Why would the crime underlings bring the crime boss up on charges? Why would they murder their own boss or whatever? I mean, that's pretty unlikely, right?
No, I mean, there's people out there that feel as though she needs to be brought to justice.
Then why isn't she?
And those are the people that aren't. Pardon me?
Then why isn't she?
That's what I'd like to know. That's what I'm upset about.
I don't really know.
Talking about the little people, though. I'm talking about the crime lords and their soldiers.
One would presume that there's FBI agents that want to see Trump go to jail. There's FBI agents that want to see Clinton go to jail, right?
Yeah, but they know better than going after the crime boss.
Well, they're going after Trump. I mean,
no, they're not.
All right.
Trump's the president. Hillary is nothing. Hillary's a past has been. She needs to be brought to
You
justice.
Don't think she's got connections, dude? You don't think she – because she was a crime boss at one time, now she's no longer she can't pull any strings? Come on. These people are untouchable.
That needs to be brought to justice, too.
Yeah, well, but the people running your Justice Department work for these crime lords.
Clinton was impeached while he was in office, her husband.
So?
They couldn't
Clinton
bring
was impeached.
That's not a criminal charge.
Couldn't bring
lying.
It all the way.
He lied. You know, though, I'm just glad that Trump's in there because Hillary, I really think we would be at war. Trump at least is trying to do some good for this country. Hillary, I'm strongly.
Well, he's not trying very hard because, trade wars are not a good thing.
He's talking about the military-industrial complex.
You know what? The long run of the trade war is good. The military
no, it's not.
Is
no,
too
not.
Small.
It's
it
a
needs
bad
to
idea.
Be brought
What's
back
good
up.
About trade
yeah,
wars,
he's
dude?
He's doing a good job. He's doing a very good job,
okay.
in my opinion.
Put aside your propaganda. And while I agree with you that avoiding actual bombings is a good thing, although of course he's bombed people, his military's bombed people too, but he has tried to meet with Kim Jong Un and that was a good thing. So there's a few good things for sure that he's done as far as being anti-war goes. But what is it that you think is good about a trade war? Can you clarify that for me?
It is in the long run there will be advantage. See, we've been taking advantage of for way too long.
Huh?
We need
How's
to get
that?
Things settled. We need to get these finances.
Who's we?
Who took advantage
of
you?
$22 trillion in debt.
Excuse me. Who
you know
took advantage of you?
$1 trillion is? Pardon me?
Who took advantage of you besides the federal government in the United States and your state government?
We have a $22 trillion debt.
Made by the government of the United States of America and owed to the United States Federal Reserve by and large.
$1 trillion equals to giving away $1 million every day for 2,700 years. That's okay. $1 trillion. We got $22 trillion of those. That's really bad.
But
we
what does
that
have to do
down.
With the trade war?
That's not a trade deficit.
We're doing what needs to be done in the long run to get this straight.
Okay, can you put Trump's the talking points down job. For just a moment?
I'm afraid that you don't know what you're talking about. And it went,
I'm afraid that I have to argue with you.
Okay.
Right, because if you're arguing, you're not listening.
You're arguing, and you're not listening. Okay, the trade deficit is not the same thing as the United States federal debt.
Right.
Good.
Exactly.
Okay, so so a trade deficit with China has nothing to do with $22 trillion in debt, right?
We have a lot of problems out there with finances.
Agreed.
And Trump is doing a very good job of getting things straightened out.
We're $2 trillion in debt. We're more than $2 trillion in debt more since Trump has been in than we were when he got in.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing a much better job. Not that he's been doing a bad job. It's just that things have fallen into place because of the past administration that he has to follow this particular suit at this time.
Nope.
However, he will in his second term do much better for what he's doing.
Yeah. Rand Paul has a system for solving this problem. Do you think that every single government agency in existence could take a 2% cut and still be just fine?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think so.
How about the military?
Well, that's a government program.
I'm not going to get into any finances with the military because I don't really know.
The answer
is
yes.
I do know that we're down. Obama let our numbers get down.
Look, we've got stories.
Obama let our numbers get down.
Hey, look, man. Democrats and Republicans, that back and forth crap really bothers me because, look, under Republicans and under Democrats, spending has occurred. When Bush came into office, we were $5 trillion. The United States government was $5 trillion in debt. When Obama came in, it was 10. When Trump came in, it was 20. And I don't know what to expect in 8 years when and if Trump is still in office and leaves.
I know what to expect.
$40 trillion?
It'll be lower. It'll be less. It's going to be lower.
Call me back.
And this is the
Call
start.
Me back.
This is the start of what's going to happen to get it to become lower.
Sure.
He's doing what he has to do. If the debt isn't lower
by the time Trump leaves office than it was when he got in, will you be voting Democrat?
No, absolutely not.
Well, then I don't care what you have to say because you cannot be swayed in any way, shape, or form.
Well, now, wait a minute. I wouldn't ask him if he was going to vote Democrat. I would just ask if he would be willing to admit he was wrong.
No. I wouldn't be wrong because the alternative would have been much, much worse.
Let me define Republican for you.
Right.
Let me define Republican for you.
Right.
Wait a second. What's the gentleman saying?
Now, you know, another thing too is China. We got a lot of China problems.
John, this is really important.
I want to get into China. We'll do that.
But I do.
John.
Yeah. I said I want to get into China, so just hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to define Republican for you. It's the party that tells the lies you like to hear. Okay. It's the same definition for the Democrats. It's just for somebody else. Right? Like, this is just an organization of liars and thieves. Okay?
Trump wouldn't lie.
Trump lied to get in. I mean, that's what he has to do. He knows that. He's not a fool.
You guys can go ahead and say whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter because it's not necessarily true. Were you there? I don't think you were.
I was there when he said drain the swamp, and the man has just let all the alligators in the White House, okay? Go ahead. Talk about China.
He can only do one thing at a time.
Yo, he can't. What?
Well, the problem with China.
I did like five things today, okay? Look, if I wanted to say, John Bolton, you're never allowed in the White House. If you come in here again, I'll shoot you in the forehead. I could do that. It doesn't take long. Donald Trump's got guts, right?
Donald Trump is doing what he needs to do to get this country back to the way it was, the way it's supposed to be.
You're what they call
it should be.
A myrmidon.
He's a shill. He's a shill is what he is.
He's not getting paid for this.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, really?
Are you getting paid?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
All right, so what about the China thing?
This time. Well, you know, I think it's absolutely terrible how we've been giving them our technology for the last 20 years.
How did that happen?
We've been handing over everything we know to them, and they don't have to like figure stuff out because they just have to pick up what we left off.
Really? You don't think the Chinese people are innovators on their own right, that everything they've gotten came from the United States first? It's ridiculous. What is that, ethnocentrism, Mark?
Yeah, a whole lot of it did.
Thanks for the call.
You got a partner.
Ridiculous. Toll free number is 855-4. Is that ethnocentrism?
Yes, that's what that is. Well, I would say that certainly there's some corporate espionage going on. But that's the problem of corporations. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not any poorer if China figures out how to make a knockoff iPhone. That doesn't affect my life in any way, shape, or form.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you want to talk about the trade war, you're welcome to. In Hour 3, coming up on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com. It is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free and bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. We've been talking about wars tonight. Not the kinds of, you know, with bombs and tanks and soldiers, but the war on drugs, specifically the war against these darknet marketplaces now. Also, our last caller brought up the trade war that has been, you know, broiling up between Donald Trump and whatever president is or premier is over in China right now.
Xi Jinping.
And that if you want to comment, you're certainly welcome to join us here. It's Ian and Mark in the studio. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But since our caller had brought up the so-called trade war, and we didn't really get a chance to get into that aspect of his call with him, I did want to comment on that concept because I don't think anybody can really win a trade war. I think that everybody loses a trade war. Whenever you put a tariff on a thing, it's not like you're punishing the company or the government. You're just punishing people. You're punishing specifically the American people who want to buy that thing that you've put the tariff on from whichever country we're talking about, in this case China. So you've just made it more expensive to buy things. The last caller was all insulted about how terrible China is. And it's like, why do people hate China so much? I understand, yeah, communism bad. I'm not a communist. I don't agree with communism. We're dead set against it as a concept here. But the reality is the marketplace over there in China has opened up over the last few decades. It has resulted in low-priced goods coming here to the United States. And that has resulted in people being able to have their dollars go further because you can buy more stuff with the same amount of dollars than you could previously because it's cheaper now.
Yeah, that's an important thing to note is that dollars aren't wealth. Dollars are representations of wealth.
That's
wealth
right.
I like the definition, and the first place I heard it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm. I like the definition that wealth is the ability to continue your lifestyle as it exists today without working.
For how long the
period of time you can do that. If you can do that till the time you die, then
you're very wealthy.
Yeah, you're pretty wealthy. And maybe that means that you could pare down your lifestyle a little bit, or maybe it means that you can really upgrade it. So, you know, it just depends.
Yeah. So having low-priced goods coming from China is a benefit to the people in the United States, especially the poor. Because if you're a poor person and you're just barely making ends meet and you're just barely getting the bills paid and, you know, if you miss a payment, you might have your power shut off. You know, if you're just kind of living on the edge like that. Being able to buy things for less means you got more things you can buy or more money you can put away in savings at the end of that month. So if you increase the price of those things through a trade war and slapping tariffs on everything, you're making it harder to be a poor person. the government, the goons in the government, which is, you know, there's goons there, whether it's Obama or Trump. The government goons are making your life harder by putting these tariffs on things. It's not helping anybody.
And who are they to do it? If I want to do business...
Men with guns who will use them against you.
If I want to do something with Mr. Li over in China, mm-hmm. I want to do some business, who the hell does the United States government or the Chinese government
right.
think they are telling me that I somehow have to pay them some kind of money to do so? Why does Mr. Li have to give you anything to do business with me? Oh, you're functionally a mob running a protection racket.
That's all it is.
Okay.
That's all this is.
Yep. They're gangsters that fly flags out in front of their buildings.
Right. They don't actually add value to any transmission of services or products. They just want to get a cut.
Well, I would certainly quibble that. The United States Navy keeps the shipping lanes clear across the world. However, why is it that the United States taxpayer has to pay to keep the shipping lanes clear for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what it is, then just let them charge a toll. You know, like any other criminal gang that would take over a road or something like that, laying down logs in the middle of the road and then charging you to move them out of your way or whatever, right? What's the difference?
I don't know. This sounds like a pretty crappy system, but
if you've heard of warlords, right, over in Africa, you know, these men will put up barriers to certain roads and they will stop you, and if you don't pay them, you're probably gonna have a real tough day. So you pay, you get through. They protect you. Same thing. What does it matter whether they got a fancy flag flying from their ships or a bunch of guys with machine guns and, you know, there's no uniforms whatsoever? What's it matter? What's the difference?
I don't know.
Are they got a marching band over here that makes it more legitimate?
Look, you're going to have a hell of a time doing recruitment for your United States Navy if you're just running a protection racket and a toll, you know, tolls.
That would be more fair. At least then you would only be taxing the people that are using the shipping lanes
in
that instance, rather than everybody in the entire country who may or may not actually be, you know, interested in doing international trade. But I'm not in favor of those things, Mark. That would just be a more honest way of doing it. Because you were just complaining about why does everybody have to pay for this.
Well, why doesn't everybody have to pay for it is my question. Right now, 300 million people in the United States, and only a half of them pay in federal income tax, mm-hmm. and only half of them file federal income tax returns, and only half of them pay. So about a quarter of those people, a quarter of those 300 million, actually pay to keep the Navy going. And
oh, okay.
The rest of the world... 8 billion of them benefit. And I want to know why.
I see what you're saying. Let's go to John. He's in Lynchburg, Virginia, listening to WLNI on the FM band. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I was going to speak in regards to what I heard from, the previous caller about the trade deficit and how that doesn't impact our national debt, as well as that it's a war that nobody can win. Basically, you know, when you have a tariff put on to goods coming to America from China because they're cheaper, yes, they are going to be more expensive for Americans. Mm-hmm. However, when we send goods over to China, which is our folks here in the United States working, China puts tariffs on those goods automatically. So
what are you saying, that the U.S. government should act more like China?
I think that the government of the United States needs to protect the American workers and allow them to give us tariffs. If they want to charge a tariff on our goods going over there at 10%, we should charge 10% on theirs.
You understand that doesn't do anything to help the American people, right? That hurts the Chinese taxpayer. When the Chinese government puts a tariff on things, they're hurting their people in the same way that the U.S. government putting tariffs on things hurts the U.S. people. Those very same people that you're so worried about, you're telling me you want them to pay higher prices when they buy things in U.S. stores that were made in China. You want the very same workers you supposedly think you're protecting to pay higher prices.
That is absolutely incorrect in what I'm saying.
That's what you just told me. Please correct me where I'm wrong.
Okay. What I'm saying is, if we are sending our goods over there and their people are getting taxed higher to buy our goods, that means our goods are not going to sell. When they send their goods over here, if we don't tax their goods and get them straight and make them stop taxing their people, then they're going to continue to do what they want to do. And our workers here in this country who are making products are not going to have the opportunity to sell their goods over there. If you want free trade, make it free trade.
Oh, I agree with you. Free trade would be great.
Direction.
I'd love to have free trade, but I don't think that you need to have free trade in both directions for me to benefit. You know, when I think about
this.
Well,
not for you.
Okay.
Because you're the one buying the goods, but for the workers that are making things in this country.
There are fewer manufacturing jobs in the United States than there have been in its history. I mean, the United States isn't exactly a manufacturing economy anymore.
Well, it's not, but that's because of the way that the trade.
You think the United States is ever going to make toasters again?
Hold on, John. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I'm pretty sure the workers in the U.S. also buy things. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us here. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We won't even charge you a tariff to call into the show. It's toll free. 855-450-FREE with Ian and Mark here in the studio. Another way that you can avoid pesky tariffs is by getting into the world of cryptocurrency, where nobody has to ask permission in order to transfer money from one point in the world to another. It could be from one human being sitting right next to another or halfway across the planet. Crypto makes it super easy to do that. And in order to have cryptocurrency, you have to have a wallet, like Edge Wallet. That's the one that we recommend here on Free Talk Live. It's the one that I use more than any other wallet out there. And I've used a bunch of wallets over the years. Edge is the one that I've settled on, and it's not because they're a sponsor. They were, I was using Edge as my top wallet before they sponsored
the show.
They're sponsored
because we like them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's available for iOS and Android. You can get it for free, of course, over at edge.app. That's their website. Secure your freedom with Edge. They will allow you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, BTC, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Ethereum tokens, and more. Get over to edge.app and get your copy of Edge Wallet. It's edge.app. As we continue with John in Virginia, listening in Lynchburg to WLNI-FM. John, Mark, I think you had a question for him. He seems to be in favor of the tariffs. Didn't you want to ask him about, you know, what is it that's being sold over in China?
Yeah, you're concerned about these widgets that we that the United States, people in the United States are selling in China, and that they're getting tariffs put on them. And I have to believe you. I presume this. I've heard this. I'm no expert in trade, but you know, I'm just wondering what these widgets are.
I didn't say that they were selling widgets. I mean, we try to sell cars over there.
Yep.
We try to sell appliances. We try to sell motors. There's a number of things that try to get sold around the world. From
yeah,
the standpoint,
well, China
is
what we're concerned with, right?
Well, even with China. China's not the only one that we have trade problems with. We had trade problems in Canada and the way that they subsidize their dairy industry.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying that we don't, the only way that we're going to bring other countries into compliance, it's kind of like Americans here. We have laws. If we break laws, just because we have them, people aren't going to all of a sudden say, no, we're not going to break them. They're going to break them, and they're going to get punished for it. Unfortunately, the way the tariffs are working, where China is unfair to the United States,
well,
we
not
have
unfair
to
the United
same
States.
Thing to them.
You're saying that you and I are the United States. If I want to do business over in China, it doesn't really matter to me how the soybean farmers or the pulpwood, you know, creators or the car manufacturers are dealing with China. It only matters the deal that I'm creating with some other person over in China. I'm calling him Mr. Lee right now just for kicks. But
Okay.
My question would be to you is, what business do you have of inserting yourself in between my business with Mr. Lee and saying, well, this just isn't fair because somebody is making pulpwood and not getting paid on it, or somebody's doing soybeans and they're not, you know, paying the right amount of tariff, or whatever it is, the, you know, intellectual property or this, that, and the other. Those things don't have anything to do with me. I thought I lived in the land of the free.
Yeah, well, of course, if you think about yourself and yourself only, you will think that way.
I just thought I was free.
Well,
when did I become responsible for the car manufacturers?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, why are these folks in the military responsible for keeping you free?
They're not.
Yes, they are.
What?
Yes, they are. If they weren't there shedding their blood, you would not be on the radio.
Wait a second.
So more blood equals
more
freedom?
Free or less free than you were in September the 10th, 2001?
Were you going to be free when Japan hit America? If America men and women didn't stand up and fight, were you going to be free?
Do me a favor, when you get off the air here, look up the McCullough memo about how the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration basically set up the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It's called the McCullough memo.
You didn't answer his question, John. He asked you, do you feel like you're more free today than you were at the beginning of 2001?
Of course he's not.
I don't see where I'm any less free.
I do. I get that blue glove love when I go through the airport.
Thanks for the call tonight, John. Appreciate it. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, I mean, the suggestion here that he made earlier, I think it was in the last segment, was that he would love to see free trade. But because those darn Chinese, they're putting tariffs on things, we just got to do the exact same thing those Chinese folks are doing. We shouldn't lead the way and show the world, hey, here's what freedom looks like. Boom. End the trade barriers, end the tariffs, end the restrictions, end the, you know, bureaucracies. Get all these government bureaucrats out of the way to lower the price of products to the maximum level of lowering it as much as you can to increase the American economy. That's what that would do if there were no tariffs, because, again, the tariffs only hurt the American consumer when you put a tariff, when the government puts a tariff on things. So that would be the way, if you want to encourage a free market, is to act like that's what you want to do. Trying to level up and one up the other governments of the world, and you know, till everybody's put tariffs on everything and the tariffs are just constantly increasing, that's not going to lead to people saying, oh yeah, we ought to try freedom. That's the other direction.
An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
In this case, it'll make the whole world poor, all these tariffs, right, while the government bureaucrats are living fat and happy.
That's the way it's supposed to be, right? They're supposed to drive the really nice cars, and the rest of us are dressed in rags. That's what statists think, and if they don't think that, that's what their policies result in.
Let's talk to Mark. He's in Tallahassee, listening to WVFT-FM. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I've been listening to your discussion here.
Good.
And
thanks.
It seems that you're stopping one step short in the argument, though.
Okay.
The tariffs are tariffs. Yes, they have gone up. But they're still about half of what the Chinese tariffs are. And that's hurting American producers. If they would open up their markets, our producers would have a bigger market. They would sell more stuff. They would employ more people. And you keep reiterating, oh, our poor people, you're making it harder on the poor people, If we had more people employed due to a larger market share in China, we'd have fewer poor people.
This is the lowest unemployment rate in my lifetime.
That's right. Part of that is we make it much too easy not to work.
I'm with you. But tariffs aren't going to solve that.
No, but if it opens up the Chinese market, we bring in hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars from them every year. They bring in about, 70, 80 billion a year into the second largest economy in the world?
Oh, yeah, there's a big
difference. You don't think that we might be able to increase our share of the market if they weren't such protectionists.
Who's this? And then you got a mouse in your pocket?
Stand by, Mark.
We'll bring you a trade mouse in your pocket?
We'll continue here in moments. If you want to hang on, Mark, we're going to bring you back. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever's on your mind on Free Talk Live.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a big tent approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to FreedomFest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to FreedomFest.com/FTL. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.
Free Talk Live. Live Saturday edition here. You can dial in toll free and bring up whatever's on your mind. We're talking about the trade war at the moment, but you can bring up anything. And in the studio with you, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Don't forget, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We've got live streaming video platforms as well that you can watch and also listen to over at dlive.lrn.fm. That's the newest one, where we've been on Twitch for more than a year as well, so you can go to twitch.lrn.fm. Either one of those is a great way to watch and listen to the show, and you can follow us there, and we'd appreciate it. Every now and then we do special after shows on those platforms exclusively, so you ought to follow us on one or the other, dlive.lrn.fm, twitch.lrn.fm. Let's go back to Mark in Tallahassee listening to WVFT-FM. Mark, you're back on Free Talk Live. You were trying to convince us that we ought to, in the United States, the U.S. government ought to have tariffs in order to match the Chinese government tariffs, in order to teach the Chinese government people a lesson so they'll then stop having tariffs, and we can then stop having tariffs so we can have free trade.
Okay.
Is that right?
No, not exactly.
No.
Okay, help me out.
No. If we raise the price of Chinese goods, mm-hmm. fewer people are going to buy those. But country like Laos, country like Mexico, all these other countries, they can make flat-screen TVs, they can make this, they can make that. The Chinese don't have an exclusive on production. And these other people will get into the market. And China knows they lose market share. It's very hard to get it back. So they do not want to lose the American market share by prices of their goods going up.
So why haven't they broke?
Well, because, one, it's nowhere near a democracy. Those people have an iron fist on there. Two,
well, I don't think
they have pretty good reserves there.
Okay, so at this point, what you're saying is that our central planning bureaucrats are better poker players than their central planning bureaucrats.
No, it's not central. They
oh, yes, it is. Oh, wait a second. I was raised in America.
No. Let's talk economics. You want to jump off into this government, anti-government, anti-government.
Okay.
The major function of government is to keep a
you just said we were going to talk. We just said we were going to talk economics, and now you want to talk government.
I can't hear you both when you're talking at the same time. I can't hear both of you when you're talking at the same time.
You're right. Okay. Let's get back to the economics. If, you know, one, let's say our workers were at pretty high unemployment. Let's say there's China markets open up. Pretty low unemployment, excuse me.
Okay.
All right. Our wages start to go up because China has opened their markets up.
But
They've been forced to open their markets up, or they're going to lose market share eventually.
Look, I don't see any evidence that China is going to open up its markets.
They're going to drag more people into the workforce. These people who do not want to work are eventually going to say, well, I can make a lot more money if I get myself a job.
No, they can't. And welfare pays really well.
Yeah. Hold on just a second. Let me tell you a little story. When Georgia made it so that
the Russian state?
The United States state of Georgia made it so that illegal immigrants no longer felt welcome. They they had these anti-immigrant laws and all that stuff. Their farmers were having their crops needed to be harvested. So they brought in prisoners, and they tried to get the prisoners to work on the farms. The prisoners said that they would rather go to confinement than do the farm work. So you can't tell me the United States workers just sitting out there saying, oh, I can't wait until the prices are high enough and then I'll do the labor. They can't do it. You have a completely incompetent class that has been created by 100 years of socialism. And you want to reinforce that with more government money coming through tariffs.
No, actually, what I want is the price for Chinese goods to go up to where Americans buy less until the Mexicans, our Laotians, our Vietnamese start producing the same product that we can buy cheaper from them.
Okay, so that's very nice of you as far as wanting to help the good people of Mexico and Laos and countries in the world. But most of the people who support these tariffs are generally protectionist across the board. You'll generally hear them talking about how they want to protect American jobs against anyone else anywhere in the world. So you're a little unusual in that you're claiming you just want to shift manufacturing away from China. You still want to get cheap products from elsewhere in the world.
I want China to realize the threat of them losing market share. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lower their tariffs to match ours. I don't care if the tariffs are zero. I don't care if the tariffs are 10%, 25%, 50%.
See, I do care. Thank you for the call tonight. Talk
for
number here.
I like my poker players to have some skin in the game. And this is some caller who has no skin in the game. Like, he's predicting what a Chinese trade war is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the job, as far as I'm concerned, of the people in those particular industries. Do we need to sell more cars in China? That's Ford's problem, not mine. I shouldn't have to pay one penny more to subsidize businesses, whether those businesses are in the United States or elsewhere. No, I am not here to prop up your corporations. That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer, I'm going to buy the product that I want to buy. And if your company can't compete, well, tough. If you can't compete because the second largest marketplace in the world is a protectionist marketplace, sorry. Just make business happen elsewhere.
Right. There's a whole world out there.
We still have the number one marketplace right here.
Yeah. And there's the whole rest of the world as well.
Somehow United States businesses got so incompetent in my lifetime that they can't compete against the Chinese and their tariffs.
Well, there's a lot of government regulations in the United States that make business here a lot more difficult than it has to be. It's a lot cheaper in a lot of instances to just move your manufacturing outside of the United States to Mexico or Laos or Cambodia or wherever it is that we're talking about here.
I would presume
Pakistan.
That the people that moved their manufacturing to China considered Mexico and chose not to do it for a reason.
For some reason.
And when you say that Mexico can compete against China, my question would be,
why hasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know why. I have no idea.
Hey, I get some really good hot sauce from Mexico. They make some stuff down there.
I've got no idea why manufacturers...
Is Carrier located down there? Carrier Air Conditioners? Did they move their facility down there?
I think so, and there was some kind of problem resulting in that about a year ago.
There's some cars that get manufactured down there,
lots of cars. Why haven't manufacturers just moved south of the border and gotten rid of the fat, lazy, annoying union American workers and go south of the border where they don't have to deal with that stuff? I mean, NAFTA makes it basically easy as heck to move stuff across the border. What's the problem here?
So these would be questions that each person in the industry would have to answer for themselves. Like, why did you do this versus the other direction?
Yep. One of the things that makes the marketplace work is that people have skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't have skin in the game...
That's why he was saying right at the end of his call, I don't care if it's 0%, 15%, 30%, 50% tariffs. I don't care. Well, I do. Because the more the tariffs are, the more we are paying to buy the things that we otherwise would pay less for. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like having more money in my pocket at the end of the week.
Tariffs don't work because the government's incompetent at everything it does. We don't believe, I mean, look, do any of you believe that central planning really, really works? I mean, we made fun of when
it's
I was
It's not central planning when we do it, Mark.
Right. Well, it's not central planning when our government bureaucrats plan
international trade. Domestic trade, that would be central planning. I mean, that's too complicated of a job. The marketplace has to handle the invisible hand, blah, blah, blah. But international trade, when, you know, far more actors are in play, somehow unaccountable diplomats and bureaucrats, they can do that.
Our toll-free number for you, if you want to join us here tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I don't know where this whole trade thing is going to go. That last caller was unusual in that he was actually suggesting that he still wanted global trade to happen. A lot of the people who want these trade wars, they want to lock down the borders completely. They want all the products to be manufactured in the United States. They've got this fantasy.
Everybody will be broke in short order.
Right, this protectionist fantasy that they can just bring manufacturing back here by raising tariffs across the board. And like you pointed out, it's just going to impoverish people. It's just going to make things worse.
Once it goes away, it's hard for it to come back, that's
right.
For sure.
It's expensive.
And it's gone away.
Yeah.
In the United States.
It left here because it was expensive to manufacture.
Yeah. I will say this.
Thanks,
more,
government.
More manufacturing goes on in the United States than it ever has before, but there's fewer manufacturing jobs than there have been.
Automation.
Going down, and it's because of automation. Robots are doing the
then
work.
Then need to ban the robots.
Ban the robots. Absolutely. Tariffs on robots.
We probably shouldn't give them ideas. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Free Talk Live. Talk Live. You may dial toll-free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Mark, should we talk about Weinstein, the professor that is apparently in hot water over defending him? We can get into that coming up here in just a moment. Also, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Plus, if you would like to get on our email list. We have one. You go to freetalklive.com because, you know, we can't really reach you easily on social media. It's nice to have it. But if you want to actually get updates regularly from Free Talk Live in your email box, go to freetalklive.com. You'll find our email sign up box right there toward the top in the middle of the website at freetalklive.com, amongst all the other various different features that we have, like archives going back to 2006, webcams, and more. Head over to freetalklive.com as we go to your calls and thoughts. David is in New Mexico listening to, I don't know what. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on that tariff thing. I've been undecided to some degree on that whole thing and still have questions. And I am fairly aligned with your beliefs. However, they're at the extremes of what is possible. For instance, if China was selling us products that was made by slave labor, let's say they had, let's say slavery was open and legal and still being practiced there, and they were selling us products from slave
labor.
It
is legal and still being practiced there as far as state-run prisons or whatever, prison labor, that kind of thing.
It's happening in the United States, too.
Also happens here, yeah. But just to be clear, a lot of companies have been called out on this over time, and you'll usually see, in a lot of cases, if you look, you can find a statement where a manufacturer will say, you know, we don't use slave labor, we, you know, engage in fair trade practices or whatever, which has a certain set of standards. They have a certain standards that groups have demanded, basically, interest groups have demanded that these things happen without government involvement, just through pressures of the marketplace. But anyway, go ahead.
But so let's just make it. And I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to understand some things myself. So let's make it personal. Let's say you personally, the two of you, and you're not necessarily going to be aligned on this. But if they were, to make it easy, everything that China sells us is everything is made by slaves. And we're buying it. So do you buy from them or do you not buy from them?
Would I personally?
If that was the case. Yeah.
I wouldn't, probably not, basically, because I don't know, because they have all kinds of human rights violations going on or whatever. Would you like me to tell you what scares me the most about international trade and just sort of freedom in that area? Because I think that I have something that's kind of similar. If you have a country, let's call that country China, just for kicks. I don't know what China does, but I suspect that they are not, I don't suspect they're being completely above board in their negotiations, but I don't think the United States is either. So fine. So China subsidizes an industry. They subsidize it heavily with the intention of driving out of business the United States' version of that industry. So let's say car manufacturing. China begins dumping, you know, billions and billions of dollars into car manufacturers so that they can have their own car manufacturing that's going to, you know, drive Ford and, you know, GM and these American auto manufacturers out of business, or at the very least out of China. And, you know, when you see a government subsidizing something, that's when it begins to bother me the most. Because, you know, there are, as everybody knows, manufacturing, you know, any business runs on thin margins. If they don't, then they've got, then there's, it's ripe for competition.
That's right. There's a signal to make, you can make money by getting into the industry.
So when, you know, when somebody, when a country subsidizes a particular industry and competition, and we, the United States, or whomever, this coalition of free people chooses not to react to that, you can expect that, you know, the person who does that sort of manufacturing in that given geographic area is probably going to suffer, because they're now competing in a marketplace where the playing field isn't fair. And that's the part that scares me the most, is these subsidies. Or you're basically saying it was slave labor. You're just saying cutting the cost of labor out, which is effectively a subsidy.
Well, I mean, here in the U.S., the isn't Trump now subsidizing the farmers who were damaged by the tariffs?
Right. So he's you know, damaged them with the tariffs and now subsidizing them. Yeah,
which is terrible economics.
Yes, bad economics.
Right. So yeah, what I was trying to do was oversimplify the issue to attempt to you know, figure out in my own mind what I think about different things. So I used a, you know, a super simple example that was unrealistic, but to clarify things. And yeah, I hear what you're saying, is they can do that manipulation in 100 different ways, and this is just one of them. And I was, you know, the one thing is ethical. You know, so ethically speaking, you know, would you buy from somebody like that? And then after attempting to get you to comment on that exaggerated example of slavery, make it more mild. It's now take the same kind of thing where, let's say that here in the United States, we believe that people should all have access to health care one way or another, preferably that it would just be affordable enough we could all buy it with the cash we have in our bank account. But if that's not possible, then other things need to be available, so that if somebody, you know, you break your leg, you want a person to be able to get their leg set and cared for no matter what money they have. But let's say in China, it's not slavery, everybody's free, but the only health care is available is if you pay for it yourself, but you're only getting paid 2 cents an hour, and none of the doctors want to work on you for the nickel or dime that you have to pay them. So all the doctors are working on the party operatives that have some money. So, you know, what about that? It's the same situation, only less exaggerated. Do you buy from China in that case? If, you know, they're not taking care of their people. They're, you know, their people are being basically abused by their economic system. Do you buy from them then?
Sure. And what I also do is, if you're giving, so if you're talking about me individually, yes, I would buy in that circumstance. However, if you're talking about me as sort of God King of the United States, which everybody loves to ask these questions, I'd say, open the borders and let these highly industrious people come over here and work hard. Also, eliminate their ability to, you know, like we wouldn't have any responsibility for taking care of them financially or anything like that. Just let them work hard, you know, make it so they have to go through a more rigorous situation to become a citizen or something to that effect, and let them come over here, build a life for themselves. And we'll see America being a better place.
That's a great point. Thank you for the call, David. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. So Harvey Weinstein cutting a deal, I guess. He's not having to go to prison. I have not actually read any of the news stories about it, but I saw a headline that he's paying like $40 million or something.
I haven't watched the Harvey Weinstein thing. I just got this article here, which kind of shows me how much of a bunch of babies American college students have become.
Okay.
So a Harvard University law professor who faced criticism on campus for representing being part of Harvey Weinstein's legal team in his sexual assault trial is being relieved of his position as faculty dean of an undergraduate house. He and his wife are the first faculty deans in Harvard's history. in a letter explaining his decision.
I don't even know what that means. A faculty dean?
It doesn't matter. It's a leadership position.
Okay.
I haven't got much time here.
Yeah, right? I understand.
And let's see. In a letter explaining his decision to renew the couple's not to renew the couple's deanships, this guy in charge here wrote generally about a deteriorating climate in the 400-student house, but did not specify the underlying issue. Over the last few weeks, students and staff have continued to communicate concerns about the climate in Winthrop House to the college, and the concerns expressed have been serious and numerous. The decision in no way lessens my gratitude to them for their contributions to the college. So Sullivan, that's the attorney here, made waves on campus in January when he decided to represent Weinstein, the former movie mogul whose downfall helped launch the Me Too movement. Sullivan and Robertson, that's his wife, reacted to the decision in a statement to CNN. We are surprised and dismayed at the action Harvard announced today. We believed the decision. We believe the decisions we were having with the high-level university representatives were progressing in a positive manner, but Harvard unilaterally ended those talks. We will now take some time to process Harvard's actions and consider our options. We are sorry that Harvard's actions and controversy surrounding has contributed to the stress and Winthrop students in this already stressful time. More or less, college students said, you're representing a bad man. You're giving him legal representation, like the oath you gave to them. Now, you're not supposed to represent the people we don't like. And, you know, basically made a fuss. They can't throw the race card. Or they can't say, you know, they can't say that he's got a privileged white male because he's not a white male.
What color is he?
He's black. He's the first African-American, guy to have this position in Harvard's history.
Huh.
And the students, you know, are just wetting themselves over the fact that he offered legal representation to a paid client like his oath says he would.
Well, he didn't have an obligation to take that client on.
So what?
But either way, we're out of time for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, maybe we'll talk about the sombrero teachers tomorrow on Free Talk Live. We'll see you then. FreeTalkLive.com. Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card size tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at CryptoTip.org. That's CryptoTip.org.